Enemy within. The ground was the same hard scrabble as every other bracket world he'd been on, only he couldn't help but recognize the dark pebbles and bits of shale that made Heorot such a gloomy place. The rock seemed to eat the light, drawing it in and making everything so dim that even flares and LEDs did little to illuminate the grim little world. Ajax became aware of himself, noticing that he was alone upon a vast landscape which would have been featureless, save for the occasional ravine that cut through the ground or stone pillar jutting up from the earth. It was a severe place, with little upon the surface to warrant human occupation. It was the wind that humanity had come to harvest, made possible only by such harsh conditions. It seemed strange to Ajax that they would fight so hard to hold on to such a fleeting thing as wind, and yet it was the energy that wind created that kept their ships running and their lights shining, and so they fought. The crunch of booted feet sounded behind him. The warm hands of a woman slid over his tired shoulders and embraced him, making him at once aware of her body pressed against his and the absence of the suit of armor that had become his second skin. The Valkyrie's presence was soothing. Even in the slicing wind he felt some modicum of peace. Never mind that he was crouching upon hard ground, surrounded by the slow churning of rusted windmills and lonely stones cut sharp by the endless winds. She had been his wife once. How could he not have found peace with her near? Through it all, he heard the now familiar bone-on-bone sound. The Valkyrie turned his face toward hers and nodded as she gently helped him to his feet. This time there was no meat or meat in her hands for him. Only the cold feel of his pulse rifle gripped in his hands. Ajax went through his ritual of ejecting the magazine and tapping it, this time against the gun itself to settle the carbon block in its casing. He racked the slide, and when he looked up, the Valkyrie was gone. Now that he was scanning his surroundings for her, he noticed a dull purple glow in the distant gloom. He crept towards the light, moving through the desolation surrounding him. He found himself wishing for his armor to protect him from the scouring wind. His body glove did what it could, but without a mask or goggles, the marine was weeping from the wind and raw from the microabrasions caused by the rock and shale particles in the wind. Soon the sound of the windmills faded into the background. He saw a small ravine leading towards the light, and noticed that it sprang from the base of a particularly large wind-cut stone. The marine made his way down into the ravine, taking extra care not to cut himself on the sharp edges of the formation. The bone-on-bone sound reached his ears again, though it was much further down the path that the ravine cut through the land leading towards the stone. He kept his pulse rifle at the ready, prepared to ignite it but keeping the weapon inert for now, just to reduce the noise he was making as he approached. It took him a while to move through the ravine, and when he reached the end of it he wasn't sure how much time had passed. When he emerged, the marine was met with the unmistakable sight of a hive ship. It was the size of a building, and from his education in Garm anatomy he knew that there would be just as much of the ship buried beneath the surface as he could see above it. It was easily the size of a standard warship. He knew that inside it would be hundreds of birthing chambers for the swarm, where organic material harvested would be consumed and turned into nutrients and new flesh for the brood. There would be no storage sacks within the hive ship, for this was one of the assault breeds, that much he could tell in the gloom. The extinction fleet would dispatch warships to eliminate local resistance, and only then would it bring the harvester ships. What struck the marine, other than the novelty of being this close to a hive ship for the first time in his long career as a soldier, was the awkward shape of it. The longer he observed the hive ship, the more he realized that it was quite unlike anything he'd ever seen. It was similar to the rest of the Garm swarm, but upon careful scrutiny he began to see details that set it apart. This one seemed more bloated and armored at the base, while the jagged spires that rose above the cracked planet's surface were dotted with gas vents and what appeared to be gun emplacements. The bone-on-bone sound returned, and this time he could positively feel the eyes of Grendel upon him. There was even a smell that was familiar, a cloying musk that stank of death and rotting fruit. It was here with him, somewhere in the ravine, and it was stalking him. There was a palpable sense of fury in the air, like a kind of static electricity that he could almost taste, and suddenly Ajax knew he'd seen something he wasn't supposed to. His attempt at recon had gone too far, been too greedy, and he had been discovered. The Marine had no idea where he would go, but he knew that he had to get out of the ravine. Something told him that if he died here, it would be permanent. The Marine moved slowly back down into the ravine, then as the sound of the beast came near, he sprinted away. He heard the inhuman roar behind him, and the sound of it slithering after him. Ajax pumped his legs and gave it everything he had to stay ahead of the creature. With every passing second, he became certain that to die here was to die for good. He had to speak of what he'd seen. He did not know his way back to Hierot from here, but he was sure he could at least make it to the windmills. Perhaps, from there, he could better defend against the creature, as it would have to come at him across open ground. Grendel suddenly lashed out at him. Out of the corner of his eye, Ajax saw the barbed end of its tail pound into the stone wall of the ravine mere inches from his body. Up ahead he could see the end of the ravine, where the rock formation made a sort of rough natural stair he could climb. There was no way he would be able to ascend without being taken by the creature. The Marine ignited his rifle and was bolstered by the sound of his weapon coming online. He might be the prey, much as he disliked accepting that, but he was not without claws of his own. Ajax fired from the hip as he ran, punching bolts into the walls on either side of the ravine. Shards of rock ravaged his body. Ajax had to buy himself at least a few seconds, so he thumbed the fire selector over to full auto. As the Marine hit the first step, he threw himself forward, spinning his body and slamming his back into the steps painfully, but swiftly giving himself a field of fire on the ravine behind him. For the first time, Ajax could see the nightmare coming after him. And Grendel was terrible to behold. The sight of it filled his imagination with images of giant centipedes and snakes and all manner of Garm creatures he'd seen thus far, and he nearly passed out from the mental shock of Grendel's presence. The creature's undulating body was a pale, sickly color and layered with pulsing rolls of mucus-covered flesh. Its back and shoulders bristled with hundreds of twitching spines, and its sides were festooned with several pairs of claw-tipped, disturbingly humanoid arms. He squeezed the trigger, both out of fear and desperation. Thankfully, the pulse rifle roared in his hands, and the deafening report of the full auto weapon in the confines of the ravine snapped him out of the hypnosis that had gotten him killed the first time he met the creature. The beast screamed and was lost to sight as the ravine was filled with clouds of spore and a hurricane of shattered stone shrapnel. Ajax fired until his weapon seized up and he knew he had to vent it before the internal parts melted. He scampered up the side of the ravine, caring little for how many times he cut his hands and legs as he ascended. The wind was a harsh companion that met him once he reached the top, but he was happy to have it instead of the thing below. The Marine ran, pushing himself to the very limits of his endurance as he made his way towards the windmills. He was out of ammunition, and unless the Valkyrie woman had more magazines, he was unsure how he would fight, but he knew he had to reach them. Ajax ran until his sides burned from the effort and his sight was blurry from sweat and grit. It became a struggle to put one foot in front of the other, but he thought he would make it, until a brilliant light hit his eyes and blinded him.